Welcome to Aging Info Radio for caregivers, seniors, and those concerned about their aging journey. Aging Info Radio airs every Thursday at 1 o'clock on WJJG AM 1530, Chicago's hometown station. Our show is also streaming live on the wonderful World Wide Web at WJJGAM1530.com. I am Susan Wacky, your host. And as of today, we are less than a month away from daylight savings time and only 33 days away from the first day of spring. Cabin fever is on its way out, and sunshine and warmer days are on their way in. My show today is about turning your frown upside down by erasing negativity and finding greater health and happiness with complementary and alternative therapies. Both of my expert guests today are award-winning authors who have written two great books, and I'm hoping they leave you inspired and more knowledgeable about your health and well-being. My first guest is Sally Marks, the author, or actually co-author, of Erase Negativity and Embrace the Magic Within. Sally is the president of Mark Public Relations, a public relations agency specializing in the promotion of small businesses. The award-winning journalist, comedy writer, and author graduated with honors from the Walter Cronkite School of Journalism at Arizona State University. She has also published numerous articles and stories in local, regional, and national publications. Sally is passionate about helping other individuals overcome negativity at home and in the workplace. She offers personal coaching workshops, seminars, and book signings. She is also more than happy to encourage others to spread the word about forming book clubs on the erase of negativity. And in her book, which I spent a little bit of time with and read it, chapter 3, it's called Anything for Acceptance. She says, it's difficult, if not impossible, to embrace joy if you are not able to let go of past hurts. It's like trying to grab something with a clenched fist. In Chapter 6, a Chinese proverb states, people who say it cannot be done should not interrupt those who are doing it. And in Chapter 7, Planting Seeds of Compassion, Sally says, developing compassion is a lifelong learning process. Welcome to Aging Info Radio, Sally.
Hello.
Hello. Would you like to say hello to any of your family, friends, or fans who are listening?
I do want to say hello to my Aunt Esther and my cousin Marcy out there.
Well, thank you for joining Aging Info Radio today. Now, you are the co-author of your book. Why don't you tell our listeners what inspired you to write this book called, actually her book is called Erase Negativity and Embrace the Magic Within. So what inspired you, Sally?
Oh, sure. Well, actually, my friend and co-author Jackie and I were discussing some of our favorite self-help books and how they'd helped us, and we were talking on the phone, and then the conversation shifted to people we knew who were in terrible emotional pain and very negative because of it, and we wondered, what would it take to help someone like that? And we brainstormed and decided there needed to be some sort of primer or read this first book that could help them erase their negativity, because as long as they were going to be entrenched in negativity, they weren't going to be able to go on and enjoy any optimistic messages in other books. So our thought was, if the person doesn't erase that negativity, any optimistic front or pretense would just fall apart.
Now, before you considered writing this book, before you had that conversation, had you guys considered writing one?
Not at all.
Actually. Not at all.
It's kind of funny because Jackie's an intuitive, and she had several psychic friends that had told her she would write a great book one day. You know, and she's a big reader, but she does not enjoy writing at all. And so when they told her that, she thought writing a book was just preposterous, but they told her she would work with another person. And she said, maybe, but she was still pretty skeptical. And then for me, I'm a writer, And people have been telling me for years I should write a self-help book because I had read and really loved him so much. But no, I was obstinate. I thought, no, I want to write comedy. That's what I want to do. And I really thought that was going to be the way I would go. And I even had some good response for one of my screenplays. But things just didn't quite turn out the way I thought.
Well, you did put a little comedy in your book with the story of the ham. Do you want to share that in a short version for my listeners?
Oh, sure. It's not original. Someone else had told me that. But basically, it was Thanksgiving, and this family was all gathering, and one young bride is ready to help to make the ham. And the mom whacks off the ends of, you know, each side of the ham and sticks it in the pan. And so the daughter says, yeah, Mom, why do you do that? Why do you cut the ends off like that? And she goes, well, that's how my mother always did it. And they go, well, let's ask her. She's here. It's Thanksgiving. So they go and they ask the grandma, why do you cut off the ends of the ham before you put it in the pan? She goes, well, you know, that's the way it's always been done. That's the way my mom always did it. And they go, well, she's here. Great-grandma's here. Let's ask her. So feeble little old lady. And, you know, and they say, great-grandma, you know, we're wondering, why do you cut the ends of the ham off before you put it in the pan? Is there, like, some great culinary, you know, secret? She goes, because my pan was too darn small. And so they had been doing this for generations, thinking there was this great reason when really, and everybody had access to bigger pans since then, but they did it because that's the way it had always been done, and no one questioned it. So I got a big kick out of that story.
That was a great part of your book. Let's talk about some of the other topics that you've written about in your book.
Well, almost everything centers around erasing negativity, and the book takes the form of each has a story. Each chapter is a different person that I interviewed that was facing a difficult problem and how they overcame it. And so it can be negativity from thoughts, speech, and actions to friendships to, you know, to mentors. It really covers a wide range, even your surroundings. We try to really cover as much as we could.
Well, I also noticed in your book, and I think it's very relatable when authors write stories, so other people can relate to others and their story. And a lot of your stuff in your book was written in that format. Did you interview these people?
Oh, yeah. And I think that's really my biggest, you know, where I do the best, because I'm certainly not the smartest person on the planet, but I do enjoy talking to people and interviewing and getting their story out and using that story so people can connect with it.
Absolutely.
So they can see themselves and think, you know what? If she can do it, I can do it. Or if he can do it, I can do it. That was the whole reason behind that.
Now, do you think people are more prone to negativity as they age?
Unfortunately, I think so. Because especially if you identify yourself with those things that are starting to, you know, maybe go downhill a little bit. Maybe you're not quite as sharp. You're not as good looking. Maybe you're not making as much money as you used to. When you base your happiness on transient qualities like that, then yes, I think it's a recipe for disaster.
Or maybe they don't feel as good as they used to.
And that's true, too.
So what are most common in the patterns as far as developing negativity? Not that anybody wants to remember these patterns, but we may be able to identify with them.
Well, I think really the biggest thing, it all starts with a thought, you know, and really a lot of the book does talk about that, you know, your thoughts, your speech, your actions, and we do have total control over our own thoughts, our own speech, and our own actions, and we really do a lot of it based on that, you know, trying to change those habits of what you're thinking about, what you're talking about, and what you're doing, and then go from there.
Now, it's easier for someone to erase their personal negativity, but if they have a grouchy boss, spouse, neighbor, or, you know, the person with them, how do they get them to erase the negativity?
You know, I always laugh at this, and it might cause a little bit of a problem, but of course I think they should buy everybody one of my books, right?
There you go. Well, let's give the website out right now. It's erasenegativity.com. That might help you, Sally.
Okay. Yeah, well, I hope so, because even if people don't think they're grouchy, everybody has a grouchy person in their life. But, you know, the ironic thing is that as you start to make those changes in your life and become more positive, a lot of people in your surroundings will change as well. We can't make them change, but as much as we would like to. But it's kind of funny. It's like you're a lot happier and you've been grouchy before. Your grouchy friends probably aren't going to want to hang around with you anymore, so they will kind of go away on their own. And so you'd be surprised to change. So even though we can't change others, as we change, very often the environment changes as well. It's very interconnected.
Now, do you think it's gender-based? I don't want to say that women are more prone to negativity, but that is really actually my question. Are they?
You know, I've been asked that a lot. I really don't think that women are more prone to being negative than men, but I think because women tend to be a little more verbal, that that maybe it seems that way. But also because, at least in my generation and certainly in my mother's generation, so much is emphasized by looks, a good-looking woman. And as you age, I mean, you can't take that with you. I mean, things are going to happen. And so if you've based yourself, let's say, on beauty or a nice figure all your life, and then things start to deteriorate, then, yeah, I think you're going to get negative for sure. So it's best not to do that.
So what are your tips for people, or some of your tips, to erase negativity?
It really goes back to that beginning of the thoughts, the speech, and the actions. And so I ask people kind of take their own personal inventory, what you're thinking about. Because most of the time, we just kind of go about our days unconsciously and have no idea of how negative we are in our thoughts. And an interesting statistic, this isn't in the book, but I learned it afterward, the average person has between 40,000 and 65,000 thoughts a day. And guess what percentage of those thoughts are negative? Just take a wild guess.
Oh, I would say probably at least 75%.
You're guessing better than a lot of people, but it's actually 95%. 95% of our thoughts are negative.
Well, we want to hang on to that, those 5% that are not. And this is Aging Info Radio. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and we will be right back. And I'm speaking with Sally Marks, who is the co-author of Erase Negativity and Embrace the Magic Within. We'll be right back.
Wait a minute. You're 65, and you're 65, and you are too? You guys are the early boomers. And I heard the senior population is going to increase by 40% within the next 5 years. I believe we are on the forefront of a silver tsunami. Thursdays at 1 o'clock, join Aging Info Radio for caregivers, seniors, and those concerned about their aging journey. Our guests will bring their expertise to topics of interest. If you would like to be an expert guest or sponsor Aging Info Radio, call us at 877-704-1530 or email info@aginginforadio.com. I am Sue Sawacki, your host on Aging Info Radio, WJJG AM 1530.
Americans lost billions in the stock market in recent years, yet investors could have realized gains of as much as 100% without risk had they known about a unique strategy that Wealth Care Consultants, located in Oak Brook, Illinois, calls the Silver Bullet. The Silver Bullet strategy safeguards your savings in three ways. First, your principal is guaranteed against loss. Second, your gains are protected against loss. Third, you pay no taxes on your gains. No risk, no taxes. What can be better than that? To learn more, write this phone number down now. 800-213-8469. Call today to schedule your confidential, no-obligation consultation with Timothy Frisby, President of Wealth Care Consultants. Once again, that number is 800-213-8469. Call today. You and your money will be glad you did. The Silver Bullet Strategy safeguards your savings three ways.
Attention wartime veterans and spouses. Are you getting the veterans benefits you deserve? VA pension with aid in attendance pays up to $1,949 a month to help you pay for in-home care or community-based care. Call WealthCare Consultants at 800-213-8469 to determine your eligibility. 800-213-8469 or visit our website at aid-attendance.com. That's aid-attendance.com. WealthCare Consultants is not affiliated with the Veterans Administration.
Welcome back to Aging Info Radio, and Mortgage Enterprise is located in Oak Brook, Illinois, and will assist you with your reverse mortgage. Today, more than ever in our economy, a reverse mortgage can provide monthly funds needed to supplement your current living expenses and retirement plans. If you have equity in your home and are on a fixed income and want to find out more, call Mortgage Enterprises at 630-571-5600. Learn about the new low-cost reverse mortgage programs. You can also click on their ad at aginginforadio.com. And once again, Mortgage Enterprises phone number is 630-571-5600 and ask for Dave. And I am talking to Sally Marks, the co-author of Erase Negativity and Embrace the Magic Within. She wrote the book with Jacqueline Howard. And before we went to commercial break, we were talking about tips on erasing negativity, but I would like to go into why it's important to develop optimism. Sally?
Okay, you bet. Well, it's more than just being happy. There, in doctors, scientists, there's a lot of research out there right now that being optimistic is not only a great source of happiness, your health, especially with your heart, relationships, success. It really encompasses all areas of our life. That people that have a more optimistic viewpoint live longer, they're happier, they have better jobs. I mean, it's the gamut. It's everything.
Now, do you feel optimism is a form of denial?
I get that a lot, actually. But no, I look at optimism as a creative way to look at a problem and solve it. You want to solve it in the best possible way. You know, if you're not optimistic and you just basically give up, and there's no options. There's a zero option with that mindset, whereas trying to think of different solutions and being optimistic, I think that opens the door for lots of creativity. So, no.
Well,
you want to focus on success.
Absolutely. Now, the 5% of your thoughts that you said are positive, how do you shift those 95% that come up as negative in your thinking?
You know, I call it the old erase and replace. And so you're always going to be thinking that. We can't really stop. But what we can do is when you become aware of something negative, like let's say, like in my case where I gained some weight as I got older, instead of saying negative things like, I'm too fat, I'm too lazy, think something like, I love it when I make healthy choices. Replace that negative with something more positive, and then eventually your brain does click in, and you might find yourself reaching for an apple instead of a candy bar. But we really are so cruel to ourselves and our thoughts. It's not even so much we're thinking about negative things about other people, so much as we're directing it at ourselves. So why not be kind and try to replace and erase and replace that as much as possible?
So when you have that good old piece of dark chocolate, what you want to go is, I deserve every bit of this candy, right?
Well, they do say that it releases endorphins, right? So just, but you want to do it in moderation.
Everything, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Now, what about the chapter in your book about negative speech? You talked a little bit about watch your thoughts.
You know, one of my favorite quotes, and this was 3,000 years ago by Confucius, and it's really so true today, and it's, watch your thoughts, they become your words. Watch your words, they become your actions. Watch your actions, they become your habits. Watch your habits, they become your character. Watch your character, it becomes your destiny. And I think that's so true. Starts with a thought, and then before you know it, it is your destiny. So why not make it a good one?
Well, that is a great saying. That was very well put. Now, the chapter in your book about negative speech, that's where you have that saying, correct? Is there anything else in that chapter that you want to cover about negative speech?
You know, I think one of the things that as I was a little kid growing up, you know, people would call me a name, and of course kids do that, right? In fact, adults do that sometimes too, which is too bad. But you hear the old sticks and stones will break my bones, but names will never hurt me. But that's absolutely not true. Names do hurt, and I remember I gave a workshop one time, and I asked the folks, I said, how many of you in your childhood, you know, fell or broke a bone or did something where you were hurt physically? And, you know, of course, everybody raises their hand. And I go, now, how many of you still have pain from that accident? I think one person raised their hand. And then I said, now, how many of you have been hurt by something that someone said to you? And, of course, all the hands go up. And of course, this is in childhood. And then I said, how many of you still have pain from those unkind things someone said? And every person raised their hand. So words can hurt, and they do hurt, and they have a really long shelf life. And whether, it's something unkind or gossip or anything else. So it's imperative that we pay more attention to what we say and how it affects others and ourselves.
And I think the delivery of it is also very important, because it can be taken the wrong way, or, you know, you're in a different moment than that person, so the communication may be off. So it's probably always good to make sure if you say something to that person to make sure that they fully understood where you were coming from with it.
I agree.
Were you always positive, Sally?
You know, they tell me, because actually I grew up in Chicago. Well, I didn't grow up. I was born in Chicago, and they said when I was a little girl and a baby, I was a pretty happy little thing. But then we moved from Chicago to Arizona, and I guess it was pretty stressful because I got shingles and all the nice little friends I had. It was a very tough adjustment, and there was a lot of religious discrimination in Arizona at that time. And I look at these pictures of me, and I was a goofy-looking kid. I had a cross-eyed, buck teeth, skinny, messy hair, was not well-liked, and my mother dressed me funny. What can I say?
How old were you when you moved there, did you say?
It was right after first grade.
Yeah, that's a tough time.
But anyway, so then I did develop a more negative, especially self-deprecating humor as a means of survival. But then at one point I realized, you know what, this isn't serving me anymore. It's not making me a happier person. And so I did make a conscious effort to shift to a more optimistic, you know, lifestyle. But no, I've gone both ways. I started out good, went downhill, and then I'm climbing my way back up.
Well, I'm sure writing your book helped reinforce the ability to erase negativity.
It does. It's been helpful to me as well.
Right. What is your view on gossip and how it affects others?
Oh, boy, that is just like poison. And I know it can be very titillating to engage in it, you know, but there's really no good that comes of it. It has just ruined people's lives, their careers, their reputations. And think, you know, for that few seconds of enjoyment, is it really worth it? And I interviewed an entrepreneur, one of the people in the chapter, and he owns a lot of hair salons, and gossip is a big, big problem. And so he says he'll warn them once, maybe twice. But that's it. After that, he fires them because he just thinks that that's probably one of the worst things to have in a business is people gossiping.
Yeah, they say it spreads like cancer in a company.
Yep.
What about the law of attraction in your book?
Well, Jackie and I both, you know, in that first conversation I was telling you about that we're both big fans and believe very strongly in the law of attraction. And for those of your listeners that may not be familiar with it, it basically boils down to what you focus on, you attract into your life. So if you're focusing on good things, you are going to draw more good things. But unfortunately, most of us focus on our failures or on negative things. And then when you have that in mind, I mean, is it any surprise that you aren't drawing more of that? So definitely pay attention to what you focus on, because draw into your life.
So focus on those 5% of positive thoughts, right?
Yeah, and then pretty soon it'll be 10%, 15%, 20%.
Oh, so you can take those that 95% and turn them around a little bit so you don't have 95% of negativity, right?
Yeah, it's just an average. It's not a given. We're not locked into that number. We can change it.
Now, your book is not a bunch of tips, but there's a lot of there's work to do at the end of each chapter. Do you want to tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, I think, you know, based on the story, and that's why we set it up that way, we have this scenario of this person's, you know, life, an example, and then at the end, little tips to help make that better. Like in the case, there was one gal who really had a lot of problems in drug abuse. She was a meth addict. And so simple little tips of, like, you know, how to tell the difference between a good friend and a bad friend, because we all want friendship, but sometimes we make bad choices. And so there's just little tiny tips, easy things that anybody can do, and relating it back to that chapter so it kind of helps reinforce. So, like I said, nothing is hard. All these tips are very, very easy.
It's just practicing them. So when is it unnecessary to practice the steps that you outline in your book? I mean, could somebody read it and then go on with their life, or is it a period of time that you recommend that they continue practicing it?
I think you really, it's like any other good habit. It's as you do it more and more, it becomes easier. But it's just like somebody with a that's got a great exercise program and a great diet. If you do it for 10 years, but then you spend the next 6 months sitting on the couch eating donuts, you're going to lose some of the good effects from that. But the good news is as you practice it over and over and over, it becomes easier towards almost second nature. But I would still tell people you're going to always have to practice it. It's a lifelong journey. And to just keep reinforcing that more and more all the time.
Now, where can my listeners get your book?
It is available online on Amazon. And if they Google Sally Marks or Race Negativity. But also what I encourage people to do is to just go ahead and go to my website, erasenegativity.com. And then if they actually look in the contact and email me and let me know that they heard about it on your radio show, I will even autograph a copy and pay for the shipping if they go ahead and contact me that way. So, and then there's also a list of bookstores that are carrying it as well, and I update that about every week. So,
well, Sally, I want to thank you. We are actually out of time today, and I appreciate you being on Aging Info Radio. And for all my listeners out there that want to get a book and mention it on Aging Info Radio, Sally's website will be listed very soon in my guest directory. And what is your tip of the day?
I think that for folks, we are always in choice, but make a determination each and every day to do and say the right thing.
That's a great tip, Sally. And thank you so much for joining Aging Info Radio. And I just want to say not only is it a lifelong process to eliminate or erase negativity, I absolutely loved what you said. Developing compassion is a lifelong learning process, and I believe all of us should practice that a little bit each day. Well, Sally, thank you for being on Aging Info Radio, and I will be in touch with you.
Oh, thank you.
You have a great day.
You too.
And this is Aging Info Radio. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and don't go away. I've got a second guest coming on that's going to teach us how to unbreak our health and use a map to the world of complementary and alternative therapies. We'll be right back.
Built on a foundation of customer service, Total Parking Solutions, local company with over 35 years industry experience, highly trained and certified service staff. Total Parking Solutions, a proud provider of CalA multi-space parking technology to over 50 communities, transit authorities, and public institutions in the Chicagoland area. Visit us at www.totalparking.net. Proven parking technology to drive you into the future.
When my father fell and broke his hip, I knew the time had come. He could no longer be left alone. We thought about having him move in with us, but my husband and I both work full-time, and with two kids in college and our own retirement on the horizon, every dollar counts. Worrying about Dad was keeping me up at night, distracting me at work during the day. I didn't know where to turn. And then I heard about Suburban Home Care. They hire licensed certified nursing assistants and home health aides to come into your home for as little as 2 hours a day up to round-the-clock care. Dad made it very clear he didn't want to go into a nursing home, and I don't blame him. Now, I can sleep easy at night and work more focused during the day, knowing that Dad is safe in the comfort of his own home and in good hands. It's one of the best phone calls I've ever made. Because I care, I chose Suburban Home Care.
For more information, call 630-964-9000. That's 630-964-9000. Or visit them on the web at suburbanhomecare.com.
If you don't clean up your room, the Board of Health is going to condemn it.
The Board of Health doesn't even know about your room. What's more, they don't care.
You know, if you keep making that face, it's going to freeze that way.
Not unless you're someplace really, really cold. Actually, a lot of the warnings moms hand out are a bit exaggerated.
If you don't get your blood pressure checked, you could have high blood pressure, not even know it, and you could die from a stroke.
But she's right about that one. Fact is, high blood pressure contributes to 200,000 American deaths each year, and a third of those who have high blood pressure don't know it. If they did, it'd be simple to treat. Call the American Heart Association at 1-800-AHA-USA1 or visit AmericanHeart.org on the web to learn more. Better still, ask your doctor to check your blood pressure.
If you run with those scissors,
it's the least you can do.
Welcome back to Aging Info Radio. And Suburban Home Care is a veteran-owned in-home care agency who has been providing in-home care to seniors and disabled adults since 1995 in the Chicagoland area. They carefully select and employ only experienced certified nursing assistants and certified home health aides to ensure your family's peace of mind. They are licensed to the Illinois Department of Public Health, bonded and insured. Suburban Home Care is a proud member of the National Private Duty Association, the Illinois Home Care and Hospice Council, and are an A-plus rated company with the Better Business Bureau. For a free no-obligation assessment or other information, call 630-964-9000. Once again, that's Suburban Home Care. My next guest is Alan Smith, the author of How to Unbreak Your Health. After a disappointing trip to the Mayo Clinic, Alan decided to explore the world of complementary and alternative therapies. Along the way, he found hundreds of therapies and better health, so he decided to write a book to share what he had found with others. The book that I'm talking about is the second edition of his book, which came out last June. Welcome to Aging Info Radio, Alan.
Well, Sue, thank you for having me on. I appreciate it.
Well, I appreciate you being on, and I'd like you to tell our listeners about Mayo Clinic and what actually happened.
Well, as you said in the intro, I ended up at Mayo Clinic from digestive problems, which are really causing a problem in my life. And after days of testing up there in Minnesota, they said, we've got good news and we've got bad news. The good news is it's not going to kill you. The bad news is you're really not going to like it, and there's nothing we can do about it. So at that point, I very quickly decided, since I was sitting in the finest medical facility in the world, and they didn't have any answers, I was going to have to look someplace else. So that's when I started my journey into the unusual world of complementary and alternative medicine. And fortunately, I found some therapies that have done just amazing things to restore my health. And the more I learned and the more I discovered, I said, you know, other people might want to discover all these options that are out there, too. So I decided to write a book about it.
Well, your book is absolutely fantastic. I mean, it has so much information in it. How long ago was that you were at Mayo Clinic?
Five, 6 years ago at least. Actually, I think it's closer to seven now.
Wow, you've done a lot in that period of time. Now, before we really go into your book, I'd like some of your views. What do you feel about America's healthcare system? Is it upside down, or what do you think they mean?
Oh, Sue, you're absolutely right. We only spend about 1% of our healthcare budget on prevention, and the vast majority is spent in the last 2 years of life. And the analogy I try to use is it's like if you were driving your car, and rather than taking it in for regular preventative maintenance, you just drive it until the engine falls out, and then you complain about how much it costs to get it repaired. we've got to reverse things and go in for the regular maintenance and prevention and improve our health so we can enjoy a wonderful, healthy life.
Mm-hmm. Now, has the health reform effort changed this situation regarding complementary and alternative medicine at all?
Not really yet, Sue, but at least it's being discussed, which is more than it was just a couple of years ago. And the best news of all is that Senator Tom Harkin has now taken over the chairmanship of the Senate Health Care Committee from the late Senator Ted Kennedy. And Senator Harkin is a huge proponent of complementary alternative medicine. In fact, he was one of the sponsors that got the National Center for Complementary Alternative Medicine created over at the National Institutes of Health.
Mm-hmm.
So we've at least got a friend in the right place.
So we're progressing slowly in this area, but we are moving forward with it.
Slowly, but hopefully surely.
Well, a while back I had a pharmacist on who owns a pharmacy, a local pharmacy here in the Chicagoland area, and he said every dollar that is spent on health care, another dollar is spent on the side effects from using prescription medication.
Oh, absolutely. In fact, there's a news report on the wires this afternoon, as a matter of fact, that the Center for Disease Control, the CDC, has announced that prescription drug overdose has now reached epidemic levels. In 2007 alone, 25,000 people, I think it was, died from prescription drug overdose. And to put that in context, that's more than all of the heroin and cocaine overdoses put together.
Oh, no, that's definitely something startling. Well, let's move on to the health trends. Do you think there's a trend in our healthcare today besides moving towards the complementary, or what do you see?
There's a great new field that's called integrative medicine, and they're actually trying to kind of combine the best of both worlds. And University of California, San Diego did a wonderful study last year that they were asking students at medical schools all over the country, and they said, "What do you agree with the statement that a physician trained in both complementary alternative medicine and Western medicine would be better able to serve their patients?" And to my great surprise, 77% of these future doctors said yes, they need to be trained in both worlds. So part of it's a pure business response because 38% of Americans are already using some form of complementary alternative medicine. So like any business, if that many of your customers are going to another business, you want to find out what's going on and find out how to get them back. So integrative medicine is the hot new buzzword in the field.
So when you say integrative medicine, is that also bringing East and West together as far as using, is it just using complementary or bringing that into, you know, the current medical system or combining both?
Really trying to combine both. The doctors, it used to be kind of a black or white, you know, us or them kind of a situation. The mainstream Western doctors would say, you know, it's you do what I say or, you know, you're not my patient. And now they're beginning to realize that, gee, maybe something like acupuncture that's been around for, 3,000 years and has been used by billions of people successfully, maybe there's something to that. Maybe we should open our eyes and our minds to some of these other options.
Mm-hmm. Now, I remember there was a famous doctor hailed by Barbara Walters on ABC News program 2020 for his medical breakthrough. Are you familiar with that?
Yes, ma'am. A very trend-setting medical textbook that he actually published that year. It's Dr. Bjorn Nordenstrom. And he was actually a Swedish radiologist. And back in the late 50s, he noticed what he called coronas around cancer tumors. And nobody knew what they were, so he started to study the phenomenon. And in 1983, he published this medical textbook that was hailed by the medical peer review journals of the day as the most fundamental paradigm shift in medicine in more than 350 years. Barbara Walters said that this could be the path to finding the cure for cancer. It was that dramatic because what Dr. Nordenstrom really discovered is that, in fact, the human body does circulate energy. Using today's technology, he mapped out the positive ions that go to every cell and the negative ions that come back from every cell in our body. And he compared that to the maps of energy meridians in traditional Chinese medicine, and he found a 95% correlation factor. So while the Chinese call it yin and yang, and we call it positive-negative ions today, it's really opened the door to a whole new field of energy or electrotherapy. So it's an exciting new era. We're at the threshold of Star Trek kind of medicine.
Interesting. Now, isn't there like 365 pressure points and 12 meridians? Something
the basic
like
points, yes.
Yeah, isn't that interesting? 12 months out of the year and 365, yeah, 365 days, right?
Well, and like any scientific discovery, scientists and other doctors have built on this new phenomenon. And Dr. Robert Becker did a wonderful study showing how the energy in our body actually is a critical part of our healing process. And whenever we have an injury, our cells emit a positive signal, which attracts negative energy, which happens to be the white blood cells for the most part, to help that energy. Without that magnetism in effect, we don't heal as well.
Mm-hmm.
So there's now all kinds of new therapies being built on that concept.
Well, at least we're moving a little forward. Now, a lot of other countries, I know China, India, some of the European countries, Switzerland, France, they look at homeopathic pathic works or complementary and alternative medicines a lot different than we do here in America. What's your view on the other countries? Are they ahead of us?
Oh, absolutely. It's not so much a question of them being ahead of us, Sue. It's a question of they never got behind in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
Many of these countries, homeopathy, which was developed in Germany, they never gave up these traditional home therapies, cultural medical techniques for healing. And so when prescription drugs and surgery and Western medicine came along, they have used them in tandem, but they never gave up their old ways. In fact, the Swiss, just I think a year or 2 years ago, actually voted as a nation to include several types of complementary alternative medicine in their country's constitution in order to protect their access to it. They saw what was happening in a lot of countries like America, where the prescription drug industry gets so large and powerful. And then he said, we don't want to lose what we've got, so they actually put it in their constitution.
Interesting. And that was last year in Switzerland.
See, the last year or year before, I'm a little fuzzy on exactly when, but it's relatively recently.
Interesting. Well, we always hear America has the greatest healthcare system in the world. Well, there's been some publicity that's not so, but what are your thoughts?
Well, we have the most expensive healthcare system in the world, and that's not quite the same thing. We spend almost 17% of our gross domestic product on healthcare, more than any other nation in the world. In fact, compared to other industrialized countries, we spend 2 or 2.5 times more dollars. And if we were the healthiest nation in the world, that'd be great. But in fact, we rank number 37 in the world for longevity. 37th. And if you look at a lot of other individual categories like motherhood mortality, we actually rank in the low 40s. I mean, it gets even worse depending on which, fine area of the research that you're looking at. But we're spending a lot of money, and we're really not getting our money's worth in return.
Interesting. Well, we are going to take a quick commercial break, and I'm speaking with Alan Smith, the author of How to Unbreak Your Health, Your Map to the World of Complementary and Alternative Therapies. And this is Aging Info Radio. We'll be right back.
I'm Seattle Sutton, founder of Seattle Sutton's Healthy Eating. There's only one bottom line in weight loss, and that is you take in a certain number of calories, and when you wear off more calories than that, you lose weight. Fad diets just don't work. Seattle Sutton's Healthy Eating works because we serve you what you should eat for the rest of your life. If anybody calls and asks, do you guarantee I will lose weight? You know what? We play no games. We tell them that if they order the 1,200-calorie plan and don't lose weight, they're either laying there in a coma, not wearing off calories, or they're cheating, because that's a fact. People appreciate that Seattle Sutton's Healthy Eating tells it like it is. There are no gimmicks, no contracts to sign. Find us on the Internet at seattlesutton.com. For more information and your nearest location, call Seattle Sutton's Healthy Eating day or night. Call toll-free 800-442-DIET. That number again is 800-442-DIET. Call now. You'll be glad you did.
Have you lost money in the stock market? You didn't have to lose a dime if you knew what Tim Frisbee of Wealthcare Consultants, located in Oak Brook, Illinois, calls the silver bullet strategy. With the silver bullet strategy, you could have doubled your money these past 10 years without risk and never pay taxes on your profits. To learn more, call today 800-213-8469. That number again, 800-213-8469. You and your money will be glad you did.
Are you facing nursing home costs that Medicare no longer covers? Are you worried you cannot continue to pay $5,000 to $8,000 a month? Our free 21-page report, Medicaid Secrets Revealed, exposes the truth about qualifying for nursing home benefits without spending down your life savings. Call 800-213-8469 for your free report. That's 800-213-8469 or visit MedicaidStrategy.com. That's MedicaidStrategy.com.
After my dad passed away, Mom's health started to quickly decline, and being left alone was too risky for her. Was she eating right, taking her medicine? What if she fell?
We thought about moving her into our spare bedroom to avoid a nursing home.
Mom wouldn't have it. She said she felt like a burden, but most of all, she didn't want to leave the home she and Dad had built together.
Our neighbor Judy had gone through something similar with her parents just a few months ago, and she told me about Suburban Home Care. A licensed certified caregiver helped her mother prepare meals, bathe and dress, but most importantly, kept her company.
I called Suburban Home Care that afternoon. They came into my mother's home for a free, no-obligation consultation. She was relieved to be able to stay at home, and I was relieved that we were able to provide the professional care she needed, thanks to Suburban Home Care.
Because you care, choose Suburban Home Care.
For more information, call 630-964-9000. That's 630-964-9000. Or visit them on the web at suburbanhomecare.com.
Welcome back to Aging Info Radio, and Wealth Care Consultants is a specialist in the design of risk-free, tax-efficient retirement plans for its clients. For over 20 years, Wealth Care has protected its clients from the devastating losses of the stock market with its silver bullet strategy that protects your money from market risk as well as higher taxes. For a no-obligation consultation, call 630-368-1409. That's right, call today, 630-368-1409. My second expert guest today that I'm speaking with is Alan Smith, who is the author of two great books. He wrote a first edition. I'm actually talking about his second edition today, called How to Unbreak Your Health, Your Map to the World of Complementary and Alternative Therapies. And, Alan, I really appreciate all the information that you've given us so far, but I really want to cover what's in your book and tell my listeners about this book because it has so many fantastic therapies. So why don't we start out by you telling us about some of the therapies in there?
Well, Sue, there's 339 different new and updated listings in the book. And they're spread out over 150 different categories, so it really covers the entire world of complementary and alternative therapies. The one exception is my book really doesn't have anything on diet or supplements because there's already so many other great books out there on those topics. I didn't think I needed to reinvent the wheel on those things.
Well, in the book, there's an old-fashioned map, and it explains like the key points to finding better health. Do you want to talk a little bit about your map? I found it very interesting.
That was one of the real, the major format changes in the book in the second edition. Western medicine tends to break down. We have doctors for our body. We have different doctors for our mind. We have churches and religious specialists for our spirit or what some people call our energy system. And that's not how the world of complementary and alternative medicine looks at you. It looks at you as a whole being that's composed of all these different facets. And dawned on me one day that an old-fashioned paper map was a way to explain that concept because the body therapies are kind of like the physical terrain features on a map. It's useful, but it doesn't necessarily help you find out where you are or where you need to go. The mind therapies, like compared to other creations of our own mind, like longitude and latitude and the names of cities and streets and towns, and I said, well, that's great, but that still doesn't provide the whole answer. You still have to have a way to find out what direction you're going. And I said, you know, there's this old magical force in the world, very mysterious when it was began thousands of years ago, called magnetism. It helped us develop a compass so we could find out which direction we were going. I said, that's kind of like the mysterious invisible forces contained in all of these energy therapies. So when you put all of those three things together, the body, the mind, and the energy or spirit, then you can find out where you are, where you need to go, and the best way to get there.
Now, do you provide the signpost on your map? You want to talk about that to help your readers along the way?
Sue, that's a great question, but unfortunately, you're kind of dating me a little bit.
Oh,
yes,
no.
I did. I put in some little signs along the way in the book, and they were kind of like the old Burma Shave signs. little, you know, cute rhyming phrases that helped you kind of catch your attention and help you make a point easily. One of them, give me an example, was, an ocean of opportunities is what you will find as you progress down your path in body and mind. Health and vitality, joy and much more are patiently waiting. It can all be yours.
Well, I enjoyed the tips in your book. I mean, after each, I believe each therapy, there's a tip.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really interesting what you've written there, and the book is really great. Now, you wrote your first edition listed some therapies. Were there a lot of new therapies that you included in your second edition?
There were several. In fact, there were also some that I forgot the first time that my readers were more than kind enough to let me know that I had forgotten them. So there's a little bit of both. Some of the new ones that I found that were interesting, Tibetan medicine is its own unique field. Different than Ayurveda from India and different than traditional Chinese medicine from China, there's a whole different field from Tibet. One of the most, one of the newest, I should say, that I found was called Integrative Body-Mind Training, or IBMT. And it was actually only developed about 20 years ago in China. It's a new type of meditation or mindfulness process, but it produces incredibly fast results. It's been studied in China. It's probably one of the most studied and researched forms of complementary alternative therapy. In fact, the professor that created it is currently up at the University of Oregon, continuing the research with American students. And they've already released a couple of preliminary studies, and the reductions in stress, patients, better mind functioning, reduction in ADD, ADHD symptoms, they're already showing some incredible results in a matter of weeks instead of what you would normally assume would take months or years of meditation training. So there's some interesting new things along the way.
And it's all moving forward, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Little bits and pieces daily. Now, are any of the complementary or alternative therapies that you talk about, are these created by any doctors or nurses?
It's amazing how many of them were, Sue. It's another great question. It's one of the things that I found fascinating in the field that you would assume that all of these therapies were created by, you know, strange, wild-haired, creative types, but in fact, a lot of them were created by doctors and nurses. Give you one example, Dr. Guy Berard in France, 60 years ago now, created what he called a Berard AIT, Auditory Intervention Training, and it's become a very widely accepted, in fact, there have been many spin-offs on it. It's a way to retrain how our brain literally functions, because it turns out if your ears, for some reason, develop differently, that you hear differently from both sides, it literally, you can't think. The processing in the brain doesn't work right. And by retraining how you hear, it retrains how you think. And it's been used especially well for ADD, ADHD, and all kinds of other emotional problems. It just helps eliminate thinking problems. But the doula program that many hospitals now use is created by doctors and nurses for pregnant women before, during, and after childbirth. Healing touch therapy was created by a nurse because she simply saw that when you touched a patient, it had a beneficial healing response. So it's amazing how many medical professionals created therapies and were immediately ostracized by their field. But we've held on to the therapies, and they continue to help us benefit with better health.
And they are slowly coming to the forefront. I think sometimes it's hard to just realize that you don't notice how different it is from a decade ago because you're living today in this, you know, day and age.
Mm-hmm.
But if you think about 10 years ago, I mean, you know, cancer support groups, they're like, what are they? Or maybe it was even 20 years ago. But now doctors are actually recommending families to go into those support groups, or, you know, things are coming to the forefront, but we don't always look back and see, wow, we have moved forward, right?
Oh, it's absolutely. In fact, people don't realize it was only 20 years ago that the federal courts had to get involved to order the American Medical Association to stop interfering with the work of chiropractors.
Yes.
So, yes, we've come a long way in just 20 or 30 years.
Yes. Well, what is your favorite therapy?
It is very much in keeping with the title of your show, Sue, on Turn That Frown Upside Down, because my favorite therapy of all is humor therapy.
Mm-hmm.
And people say, well, you know, that's not any big deal. And I said, well, wait a minute. This is the therapy that was actually mentioned in the Bible 2,000 years ago. And today has all of this research, even it was even recognized in the 80s as a legitimate healing therapy. So it's free for the most part, unless you want to rent a movie or something to help stimulate your thing. There are humor clubs popping up all over the country. It's just a nice, wonderful way not only to feel better, but get a better outlook on life.
Yeah, I always thought they should have comedians in hospitals.
They actually do. They have what they call comedy crash carts.
Oh, that's great.
In many hospitals, especially children's hospitals, are really taking advantage of it because children are especially open to laughing and laughter and the healing properties, the painkillers and things that are naturally produced by our bodies and our brains with humor. It's just a wonderful thing to have around.
Yeah, well, children laugh a whole lot more during a day than adults.
Absolutely.
Yeah, well, we need to catch up with those kids, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Now, has there ever been a therapy for humans developed or that was originally developed for animals?
There actually is, Sue. T-Touch, which was originally developed for horses and animals, and as the founder was teaching the classes, well, naturally the students, since they couldn't bring their classes into the hotel room or wherever they were getting the classes, they would practice on other students. And they noticed, you know what, that felt pretty good. That kind of helped. So they started looking at it and said, you know what, if we modify the techniques a little bit for humans as opposed to horses, it worked great. So they developed T-Touch for people. And it's a whole new field.
Interesting. How does that work?
It's kind of an acupressure format, although it's the type of motions in the hands and the fingers is different than straight acupressure, but it relieves pain, relieves stress and cortisol in the body. It has a lot of different healing techniques. It, again, works with the energy to help our bodies heal themselves.
Mm-hmm. Now, in writing both your books, how did you research all of these different therapies?
Each one was a little different. The good news was, my college degree is in journalism, strangely enough, many decades ago. So when I decided that other people really needed to learn how much was out there, literally hundreds of different therapies, I had the training and skills to even get into it and do it quickly. The Internet today makes it a lot easier to find people to make the phone calls, the associations, get a lot of cooperation, but it's still just old-fashioned journalism.
Well, you've done a fine job on this book. It's just full of information. And we are getting short on time, Alan, and I'd like for you to give us your tip of the day.
The tip of the day, Sue, would be the one, it's also the first line in my book, that there is always hope. People don't know how good they can feel tomorrow unless they give themselves the opportunity and have a little hope, because you can find that therapy that is the magic bullet and you can feel incredibly better than you even dream at this point in time.
So a little hope along with a lot of comedy.
Yes, ma'am.
There you go. Well, Alan, I thank you so much for joining me today on Aging Info Radio. And once again, you can get Alan's book at unbreakyourhealth.com. His book features 339 listings in 150 different subjects, and you can learn how to use this map to find better health. It's an absolutely fantastic book. And I want to thank you for being on Aging Info Radio today, Alan.
Sue, thank you for having me on. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.
I'd also like to thank my other guest, expert guest Sally Marks. And she is the co-author of Erase Negativity and Embrace the Magic Within. She wrote the book with Jacqueline Howard, and you can go to erasenegativity.com for information about her book. It's also another great book, and her number is 480-664-3004. And you can visit Aging Info on our website where we archive all of our shows. We list our future guests, and our guest directory is up to date with all the guests that have ever been on our show. And if you're trying to locate a guest you heard on Aging Info Radio and cannot find them, you can email us at info@aginginforadio.com, or call 877-704-1530. And my future guests are actually listed into May. So go to our website once again at aginginforadio.com. I would like to thank my listeners, my sponsors, WJJG AM 1530, and Jim, my most awesome programmer. Aging Info Radio will be back next Thursday, and you make it a great day. On an American goodbye note, I believe it is all of our responsibility to take care of our seniors, many of whom are the foundation of our country, and may their strength and dedication be passed on for generations to come.
See the moon roll across the stars. See the seasons turn like a heart. Your father's days are lost to you. This is your time here to do what you will do. Your life is